Welcome to Sad Boys, a podcast about feelings and other things also. I'm Jarvis.
I'm Jordan.
He's Jordan.
Oh, no.
And we're joined by two, count them, two very special guests. And their names are super different.
Yep.
You've got Alex.
Alex.
And
Alexa.
Yeah.
Nice. Yep.
Do you ever play around with it, swap them out?
We do, but not on purpose. It's mostly just people calling him Alex.
Sure. Yeah.
Him just accepting that and just being like, I'm Alex.
Yeah. I feel like you've chosen a hard path for yourself because even without him in the picture, people would have probably called you Alex.
Alex, yeah. It's hard.
I like you said you chose. Like, do you choose your own names here? Is that?
Oh, yeah.
It's just whatever your
first
birthday
was like a serial number.
You got names down there? Or?
We do now.
We do now. It's a new thing.
Cool. Yeah. Initially illegal.
Yeah.
Thankfully, the conservatives came in, fixed that right up. Lucky.
I was going to say, like, how much do you guys get called your internet handles? Because, you know, boy, I did a thing is what people, I guess, online know you best as.
Yeah. Quite a lot by people that recognize us. Mm-hmm. Actually, entirely by people that recognize us, but by, like, my actual friends.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Your parents call
by
you
my
by,
mother,
your,
yeah.
by your internet.
I did a thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everyone else, no.
Yeah. Well, not, I mean, she mostly refuses to talk to you at all.
Yeah. When she does, she's like, oh, I
it's
guess
like a parasocial relationship you have because she just watches you on the big screen.
Exactly. She only responds to me in comments. That's the only way she talks to me.
What do you mean you made a spoon with a spoon? Shut up. I don't care.
You guys use your real names.
I know.
As content names.
We didn't know there was another option.
That freaked me out. I remember I was at Anime Expo. What up? And like someone came up and said Alexa and it scared the crap out of me. I'm like, who do I know here? Like, I don't know what's happening.
They were just activating an Amazon Echo.
That happens a lot as well.
That is, it's funny you mentioned that because going by your own first name and last name, it does have people addressing you in kind of it like induces fight or flight to be like, are you Jarvis Johnson? And I'm like, am I in trouble?
It would be so easy to serve us papers.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh yeah, nice to meet you, a fan. They're like, served.
But it'd be so easy to just find your address and other things. When it's
and do terrorism against you guys. Yeah. It'd be really easy.
It's like, you'd be surprised how easy that is already.
Yeah, that's
yeah. There's a lot of streamers out here who don't go by their own names.
Yeah.
First time doing a four-person setup, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow,
we don't know any other friends.
I think four, possibly too many people. Just putting it out there.
I'll say.
Who are you getting rid of?
I don't know. I'm just, I mean, you've already made the bad decision.
We'll do a vote at the end of the show. Yeah. It's like the first episode of our reality
show. It's like Survivor.
Show.
There's just one person left just talking to
this
himself.
This show sucks. Yeah. You get the win of solo podcast.
I have to look around Jarvis's house for an immunity idol.
Yeah.
What? You know the ultimate American immunity idol? You guys are familiar with them now,
Survivor.
Huh? A big gun.
Ah.
Just a full gun.
Just a full gun. But everyone has one. That's the problem. Not everyone can have an immunity
idol. I'm afraid
idol.
Of guns. Really? I don't have guns. I've never shot a gun.
You've never shot a gun?
No desire to. Because if somebody's got a gun, you did it, man. Congrats. You got me.
What if there's someone you really want to kill, though? How are you going to do it?
What if I have a gun?
Yeah.
Okay. That's your prerogative.
No, but you really want to kill me.
Oh.
I'm being so annoying.
I do like a Jedi mind trick and take the gun from you.
Oh,
like,
no.
Or I like remind you of your insecurities and make you turn it on yourself. Oh, yeah. I can't.
Don't. You show me a photo before I got Invisalign. Like, stop.
No, quit.
No. I shoot myself. No, how do you do that?
What is the gun culture like in Australia?
Pretty non-existent in terms of... like we know people that shoot, but they shoot specifically for hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't get a gun unless you
need to be part of a gun shooting club or a hunter.
But that was just, I mean, the 80s, 90s, there was just a purge, right? Of guns.
Yeah.
It was after Port Arthur where there was a massacre and then the government just bought back all the guns.
Yeah.
The conservative government.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that insane?
That is so funny to think.
And it just worked.
Yeah.
Because
like,
if there
of course,
weren't,
I'm not
like,
all the gun.
Yeah.
I do feel like if it weren't for like the NRA and stuff, then like that kind of thing could be possible in America, but it's so embedded into culture. Like people feel like a God given right to bear arms. I guess it's the Second Amendment, blah, blah, blah. But, you know,
I don't
is
think
it
you
in
can
the
do
spirit of
I don't
no,
think.
I think you could you got not stuck with them.
No, I think we're sorry. I think we're stuck. Stuck
and they are in order. The amendments are in order of coolness. So speech for podcasts, so sick.
I think guns are cooler than
Wait, which one's speech?
You got to try it. Free speech, First Amendment.
We don't have that.
That's your First Amendment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was not
wait. So before that, it wasn't amended. They were like, we don't have that, and someone's like.
Well, yeah. We can talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. How do we put it in?
Shut up.
Oh, so fuck.
Yeah, I actually, this is kind of a something I should know the answer to, but like, I do think there were a few amendments that came, like, they were like a day one patch. You know?
Oh, right. Yeah. They're like, this is not working.
Yeah.
This
is
very good. We need guns.
Yeah. Hold
on. This is completely wrong.
Oh, guys, we forgot to do a two. I mean, it's pretty indicative of, I think, not just the American education system, but like the how not prioritized learning about the Constitution is elsewhere in the world, that I couldn't name almost every every amendment. Maybe three.
Yeah, there's like a few that are like super famous, like 13th Amendment and 19th Amendment. Just basically when like...
How many are
there? No, I'm not going to say nothing.
There's like...
21?
20 something, yeah.
I know up to five.
Yeah.
Well, I know number five.
But then like three, like women voting is an amendment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fucking hell yeah, dude.
Oh, we like
him. Dude, I'm honestly, bro. I'm not a feminist. Like, I'm not insane.
I want to say that's 19th Amendment. Hold on. Now I'm American history checking myself.
Because we don't have an amendment.
We don't have a constitution.
We don't have a constitution.
Don't have women.
How do you live in a functioning society?
It's very hard.
Women's right to vote was 19th. And then 13th was like slaves of people.
Yeah, that is really like, so crazy. I like it that guns is before women voting.
It's just probably like,
how do you reckon women won their right to vote?
Well,
they took up arms and they fucking.
It's probably like free tap water before that.
Maybe this is interesting to you, but 13th Amendment was abolishing slavery. So they abolished slavery, and then later on they were like, in the 20s, they were like, okay, women can vote.
You guys,
because we indigenous people in Australia were only allowed to vote 1961. That's which is insane.
No, not like, wasn't they were recognized not as flora and fauna
in 1901, and then they
no, it was much later. It was in the 60s.
It was okay, 61 then.
Up until 61 they were referendum. Like animals and plants.
They were considered flora and fauna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is insane.
In the 60s.
I mean, to be fair, like America had civil rights in the 60s, so like there were there was a lot of stuff that's abolish slavery, but it's still, there was this, you know, what's the word?
Apartheid.
The word for separation.
Redlining.
Segregation.
Segregation. There you go. Different water fountains and bathrooms.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
But we've noticed that in some areas, like the first time we came to America, we went to St. Louis and we were staying in Ferguson. And there was actually just like a street. I think it was called like Delmar. And it was like on one half, it was 99% black people. And then the other half was like 80% white people.
Yeah.
So you can make like an a legislative decision to, you know, make racism illegal or whatever. Yeah. And it appeals to a certain base.
Yeah.
But in practice, it's still a side of town that is historically oppressed and has no industry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other side of town, which has all the industry and won't hire the other people.
Yeah.
So like,
So basically,
fairness is now the law.
That's called redlining, where like banks wouldn't give home loans to like black families in certain, if they were trying to buy property in certain areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So it essentially created a de facto segregation.
Yeah.
And as it's like in practice, that's turned out that like industry and like commerce and stuff develops in like the white areas, and then the black areas are kind of left to be like the sort of underserved communities.
Yeah.
Real quick, I just wanted to say we just released a Jarvis Johnson Gold inspired Your Premium collection over on jarvis.store. It's a merch drop. We've got a new merch partner. We've been working on it for a very long time, and I'm finally excited for you to see it. We've got sweatshirts, sweatpants. We got shirts, long sleeve shirts, rugby shirts, lots of cool stuff to check out. I can't wait to see people posting photos in it. So head on over to jarvis.store to check that out.
Well, were you guys both from Australia or you grew up in Australia?
I think
you talk about that publicly, you don't know.
No, we do. We've talked about it. I was born in Australia, but both my parents were born in China. But they're like Russians born in China, and then they migrated. And then
I was born in Serbia.
Okay, yeah.
Came to Australia when I was like five.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Sure. Do you have to adapt?
Adapt?
What's that like? I don't know I'm wondering what the interpretation is of like nominally white.
It was not culturally. Honestly, it's like the best possible position to be in.
Yeah.
Because you're like white passing, so you get all the cool stuff that white people get. And then you also have like your own like spooky foreign culture that you can draw on.
Yeah, so you're and like exotic, sneak your way still white. Like,
yeah. Right. Different powers.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's good.
It's nuts. Yeah.
You guys
have
holy magic.
Yeah.
Australia's mainly very diverse class.
Australia's rogues.
Yeah, yeah. No, I thought it was funny when we first showed up in Australia, we like earliest memories, we were looking for a house and we're in this place called Eastwood, which like turns out it's like the Korea town of Sydney.
Mm.
And we're looking for this house and the neighbor was there in the open house, kind of just like inspecting his potential neighbors. And he goes up to my dad and he's like, oh, it's good to see some real Australians checking out the property. And you look around, it's like, he's the only white dude.
Right.
Everyone's Korean. My dad's like fresh off the boat. And he turns to him, he's like, I thought we were all Australia then. The guy starts like backpedaling. He doesn't know what's going on. And I was watching this interaction. I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. What is this?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Like my parents were both teased and like bullied heavily
really?
In Australia for being like, because you can say the word wog in Australia, no one, but apparently it's a bad word here.
Mm. I mean, it was a bad word.
Yeah, they were just teased
I
so much.
It's just kind of antiquated here. I never hear it.
Really? I've never heard that in my life.
It's also, really? It's Italians, yeah. Right?
Yeah, it's like yeah. Italians, Europeans.
It shifts with each generation. So I think like in the 60s, it was like Italians and then Greeks and then slowly moves further east as like one... It becomes white.
Right. And becomes acceptable, yeah.
Yeah, it's like when you say
inclusive.
Like...
Yeah. Yeah. Think about it.
Yeah, well, that's progression. That's
can
progression.
I be it?
Then the slurs overlap with each other as they migrate around the world.
This is like such a 4chan Reddit guy take. Yeah. Just like, we should just call everyone the N-word.
Yeah. I mean, perfect. I mean...
Then you remove it.
What's
power.
Funny is, in America, obviously, there's all kinds of words, but if someone says foreigner... You know, it's like they say it like in a certain way. You know who they're referring to. Yeah. They're not referring to the like European guy who just
it
you know,
comes
like,
with the sound of a shell being put in a shotgun. Yeah. Unfortunate.
Yeah, because I'm sure Jordan. Oh, go
I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna ask you. Do you think, like, did you get any? Oh, like. Oh, a British man. We remember when we were ruled by you guys. Do you get that from like Americans ever?
Bridgerton and Downton did a lot for the public perception of the British. I think it's a very affectionate time to be British.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But
do you get Australian?
I get South African more than anything. Who knows why?
That's just odd.
Different about that one.
Yeah.
No, I think Trevor Noah did the exact opposite.
I was going to say Trevor Noah did that to you.
They were like, they see me and they're like, are you unfunny? Do you make a bitch?
You're a hack.
No, if sometime I think Australian at one point. But also when I moved here, I enunciated.
Yeah,
because
we do the same.
We speak completely differently here than we do.
Because people don't understand us if we're just, you know, mumbling the entire, which makes sense.
But. I appreciate any time I say that here, people are very even in the comments this has come up. Especially when I used to stream, because it would be, you know, it's harder to maintain to some degree. People would mention people like, hey, just be yourself. I don't mind, just do it. Would love to hear it sometime, but it gets exhausting to say everything twice.
Yeah.
It just sucks. Yeah. It's just not fun.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's like Americans not having a trained ear or like be active listeners because there's so much of a speak English culture here with like people from different cultures. Like, well, you're here now. Because you get that. You hear at least stories about that with people who are, you know, from immigrant families and stuff. And there is this like shedding of your pre-existing culture to like become American.
Do you guys sound Sydney'd?
I think so. It's a horrible word. I was going to say slightly more refined Australian, but it's like, it sounds closer to English than other parts.
Received English or whatever it is. RP, received pronunciation. That's like how the Queen talks. Received.
It's interesting.
Through education, I guess.
It's really interesting hearing how people in Sydney spoke like 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
They sounded completely English.
Really?
Yeah.
Really English.
That's like, interesting.
Yeah.
That's
disgusting.
It's weird to see.
And then people watch like Mr. In Between. They're like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a little bit of that in America too with like the transatlantic accent, which is like this created accent.
Oh, is that the New York and hey, yeah.
Well, there's just like the way that actors in Hollywood talked in like the 20s and stuff was such a... It was like a created upper class sounding accent, which sounded more, I mean, I feel like it's like more British elements, but it was not how anybody like in real life talked. It was like completely manufactured. That's so fair. I don't know what it's the origin. I don't know what the origin is of it, but I'll tell you what.
Have you guys thought about making up your own accent for the podcast?
Ooh. Yeah, British.
We're both Serbian.
Jarvis is still learning.
At least that's what they said in film school. I mean, a lot of that shit's apocryphal, so we'll see. But supposedly, it is for international appeal.
Yeah,
because this was also a period of time where Hollywood was not as ubiquitous as it is now. Mm. So releasing anything, it's like a little bit like how if you want to publish anything in China, they want to, I want a Chinese character in it.
Yeah.
Just because that's the thing. If you're going to put it here, hey,
yeah,
ultimatum. It's a little bit like that, where I think, especially back then, I mean, the UK has a really funny resentment of the US sometimes. Which is not shared. It's really weird to just be like, yeah, oh, those fucking guys. And then you come here and they're like, I cannot get enough. Do you have horses?
We have that a bit in Australia. I feel like people make fun of America a lot. And then as soon as we come over here, it's like, we love Australia. We love you. And we're like,
oh,
yep.
Same.
Love you too.
Do you have like a kind of defining reference that people make here, like they reference a movie or something? As I love Australia, I watch X.
Crocodile I watch Dundee. I did a thing. that's kind of the main touchstone for Australian culture. Yeah.
Do you guys talk about crocodiles? Superman, that's what I was.
Crocodiles, yeah, it's usually just the animals.
Kangaroos.
Like the two dangerous animals.
Kangaroos.
Florida's alligator, right? Not crocodile.
It's correct.
Do we have crocodiles here?
You do. We do have crocodiles in Florida.
Wait, of course you know.
They're not alligators?
There are crocodiles as well. They're both,
Is a crocodile the one that's swimming around more?
Alligators is the slower. They look a bit like a crocodile that's been like pumped full of air.
And they have like a different shape of the nose.
Yeah, they're a bit more stubby and nose slow.
Face. I've got like a different nose face.
Alligators, if you see something just lying there, then it's usually an alligator. Crocodiles are usually under the water watching you, but you won't see them because they're trying to eat you and stalk you.
Wait, so alligators don't want to eat you? They're just chilling?
Oh, they're pretty. They killed one recently. Alligator killed a woman recently. I saw her in Florida at a golf course.
With a gun.
No background checks on the alligator.
That's a loophole.
That's a loophole. It's really sad to see.
Alligator to buy it for you.
Well, there was.
They shaved the serial number off.
I was watching a video about fast food disasters or something like that. And I know, what type of video is this? Well, someone went through a drive-thru in Florida and threw an alligator through the through the window as a prank.
That's very impressive.
Does it count as a prank? It sounds like he was
charged with assault with a deadly weapon. Alligator.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Because you would have to throw it like with spin that way. Because the wind. Otherwise, if you went that way, it wouldn't get through the window.
Yeah, I don't know how
they get in there.
And the guy afterward was like, yeah, I just thought it'd be funny. But I guess, you know, I understand I did make a mistake and I did put some people at risk.
Like, was that ice cream break? PC culture woke people. Yeah. No one understands the joke anymore.
The woke matrix will come for you when you throw fauna.
Was there an accomplice? Is this guy driving and handling an alligator at the same time?
Was the alligator.
I do.
Like, get in there.
It was another alligator.
The getaway driver was another alligator.
With a gun.
I do think it was just the one guy. So I think it's like a smaller alley.
Impressive.
That's
so crazy.
Did he plan it? Was his thought process, I'm going to throw this?
And it was like he had a friend who worked at the fast food restaurant, but the friend wasn't working that day.
This was an inside job.
No, he wanted to throw it at his friend.
Going to throw it at his friend theoretically, but his friend wasn't working that day. But he just thought it would be a funny
He's
gag.
Like, well, I brought the fucking alligator.
I'm going to throw it.
Also, I'll just drive home with this alligator. Yeah. I don't even know where it's from.
I got to get rid of it.
It's like on Amazon. I don't want this thing.
That's the next evolution of what was it called? Unicorning or whatever? Where you go through the drive-thru and you ask for a soft serve and you put it on your
head. Oh, right. That's
it's so just
silly. That's amazing.
It's gone full... It's going crazy.
Dude,
needs to stop.
What an epic roast. Imagine being covered in ice cream. Yeah, and they just have to be there being fine. Yeah. And you pay them still. you go away.
Got him. Got him.
Oh, yeah.
The there other was an fast era of food
that just was being annoying, then leaving.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
There is another fast food prank that I think is called like fire in the hole or something, where you get a smoothie or a milkshake. And then you just throw it back at them as soon as you
get. Oh, okay. So that's where the alligator one comes from.
Yeah.
It's just the next evolution.
I think
of that.
It is. Yeah. They were like, we have to go deeper. Like,
well, the first time they went around, they bought an alligator. Yeah, like, yeah. Thanks very much.
Oh.
I just don't understand. Like, what do you feel about pranks?
I like them, but I don't like it when, because you don't know how someone's feeling when you do a prank to them. Like, mm-hmm. their mother could have just died.
Yeah,
they're walking down the street and you come up and you do like, even something that's, you know, simple, like giving them a lolly that's called Kiss, and you say, do you want a kiss? Do you want a kiss?
Right, right.
What is this video?
That's what I saw, which was like, a guy's like, can I give you a kiss? And then someone arced up and was like, no. He's like, dude, it's just a lolly. It's called a kiss.
Oh, right.
It'd be,
yeah.
It'd be like, really funny if this is you like trying to demo an idea for a video. I'm like, that's dumb, right?
That's yeah,
and
I'm like, well, like, yeah. Don't change my
yeah,
mind.
Do you want to see my cock? No, what? And then they pull out the chicken and they're like, yeah.
Well, that's, yeah. That's,
yeah. But I feel like that is if someone's done
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. God.
But yeah, I was saying, you don't know how someone feels. So it's like a thing that could seem like, you know, small and meaningless to use. You could make someone kill themselves.
I do think it's textbook harassment.
I think once it's a crime, it's a definite no.
Yeah, sure.
I think that there is like a really, really good style of prank where it's like the person you're interacting with is in on it with you. Mm-hmm. Like
a back and forth, a war of sorts.
Yeah.
We actually did a really good prank on this wasn't even for a video. We were just bored fresh out of high school, but we... you guys at tennis courts here, do you have like the mesh like wire nets on the outside?
On the outside of the court itself?
On the outside of the court?
Everything's fenced off here.
Oh, like above the fence to
it's keep just it from like going a over. Big wire fence.
He's explaining a fence.
We got
a fence.
Oh, just like a regular fence.
Yeah, just a fence.
It's a fence at tennis courts.
So you guys, for houses, do you have like the swingy? The door, sorry.
Yeah, the big plank that like swings in and out.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No, but
that might be Australian.
We're following you.
What we did was we bought bolt cutters and we went down to the tennis court.
Well,
and
initially we wanted to get in because like we wanted to play tennis.
Yeah.
And then the courts were closed.
And then we were going to just cut the lock, but we thought, you know what's funnier than that? One of us stands up with their arms in a funny shape on the wire and we cut a silhouette.
Like Looney Tunes. Like
really fast. Okay,
that
thing.
Is pretty good.
So we did like two of those, and then every single time we would play tennis, we would just like walk through and go. Oh.
Okay.
And they were up for a while.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie.
And that was no video, just for the joy of having fun.
We should go back and make content.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
It paid off for us.
Yeah.
We're getting CPM off that.
No, that's funny because I used to just react to content in the privacy of my own home without a camera there. And then I was like, why don't I just put one on?
Are
you called
stuff?
Watching videos? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
You know when you would like...
Content,
I should monetize this.
You'd sit down and you'd like... You keep like looking away from the screen to look in a lens just on instant. Oh, mate, I'm so embarrassed. I did that the other day.
Oh, like you did
You know, like looked. So like at one over the pandemic, all I did was stream because I had no audience and I was just like, I was just said, what the fuck am I doing even? And I just would be looking to the left at the camera for 10 hours a day or whatever. And I don't know what happened. I don't know why it came back. I never stream anymore. But I was just like, what the fuck happened? Oh, I saw a guy dressed as Santa Claus yelling at a semi-truck.
On the screen or in real life?
In real life.
Ah,
by my spot. Dox myself. The North Pole.
Yeah, careful.
You can edit stuff out, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Anyway, we're Santa. No. I saw that and I just was so like happy. I don't even know how to describe it. I'd like half smiled and just looked off left. And I thank God I wasn't with anyone. Because they wouldn't have put it there.
That's scary. If I was with someone and they did that, I'd be like, "Where's someone's filming us?
Oh, right,
where's the secret camera?
I'm being pranked."
I was watching this prank channel recently, which prank channels are alive and well, and it's like upsetting. Like, there's that one guy who keeps getting arrested. The
British guy. Yeah, just like
the one who walks into people's houses.
Yeah, the one who walked into people's houses.
I like that trend though.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
Until we just stay.
Yeah, because it's like I think it's nice. I think you should just be able to hello, you know.
Yeah. Right, right.
In America, it's the opposite. You get shot.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the idea.
It's actually just a like, big flex on America though.
It right, really right. is.
Yeah. In Britain, they welcome you in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, the new
hello there.
The new prank son. That he did was kind of ridiculous. What was his name?
Well, he just keeps getting. He should just be in jail for longer, right?
He was also on Piers Morgan, and Piers Morgan came out looking well.
That's his game. Yeah. He did the same thing with what's her Andrew name? Tate, the interviewed the quote female Andrew Tate. That was Piers Morgan's like.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Recent. He's very tactfully buffering himself against criticism by like once a year having Kanye on and being like, "Don't you think that's a little bit?" Problematic?
Yeah.
Not to use woke phrasing. And then just like, it comes on next week and says the N-word.
Yeah.
Like, no, but I, you know.
Okay, so the guy's name is Mizzy, and he just did a new, like, he had a new prank where he was just like at a, like a corner store or something, and he was just like destroying the place. And I was like, this isn't a prank. That's
not a prank. The thing is, I want to watch it. Oh, so, sure, yeah. Like,
huge dub.
Maybe it's.
Your Honor, it was a psych. I'd like to psych that from the record.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Wait, here we go.
What's going on with that hat? Fuck yeah.
Let's see if
it's. Reality is an illusion, bro. Bro, hey, what's all of this for? What's all of that, bro?
Yo,
what's all of that, bro? What's all of us? Hey, yo, fuck your shot, bro. It's an illusion, bro. It's an illusion.
Does he think he's in like a simulation or something and nothing matters?
Psychosis? He's trying to break the illusion.
It's an illusion.
Yeah, I think he's having a lucid dream.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the. Really, if my example was embarrassing, then this is being internet content pilled dangerously.
Yeah, I'm jealous. I've never monetized my psychosis before. Like, I've been doing it for free.
How did you do it? Going to a corner store, I'm moving shit around.
But it's not even like breaking things in a funny way. He's just lightly going, oh,
yeah.
What about this?
It's an illusion.
I saw a different guy.
I mean, it's like being, I'm sorry, it's just like, you know, when you're a kid and like, you don't really understand what a joke is.
Yeah.
You just know it. You know the cadence of it.
Yeah.
It's like, knock, knock, it's me.
Yeah,
nice. A prank, I do something weird and people like it.
So, I think that you summed up a lot of YouTube there.
Yeah.
Well, that is, I think 99% of people on YouTube is, hey, this is what someone else has done and was successful doing this. So I'm just going to kind of copy it, but I don't know if this is actually entertaining, but I'm going to do it anyway.
A lot of those spin-off Mr. Beast, not Mr. Beast, but Mr. Beast, where it's like, I went somewhere.
I got a lot of something, and then there was lots of it in my house.
I had a thing,
and then I had to get rid of it.
It feels like a randomizer, that they're literally like rolling the die. Like, I got 1,000 Orbeez. No, that's too few Orbeez, I think.
I made 1,000 people blind.
No.
I did the same 1,000 people.
I trained 100 alligators.
That's not bad.
Hold on.
That's viral territory there.
Too
good.
We were getting close. He's like scientists in the lab. They're like, we're approaching. Like, they're discovering a new element on the periodic table. We're so close.
Holding of an alligator like a tube, like a vial.
We've done some pranks in our time where I was like, oh, I think that was just, I was very annoying there. Because we did one, we were trying to, we're making a video about sanctions in North Korea and showing how much sanctions actually affect people. And one of the things that was banned in North Korea was
petroleum. Was that the one you were talking about?
Yeah, there was a couple of petroleum. And then I just went and I just told a woman that I have to take her bicycle tires.
Because they're made from petroleum.
I had to confiscate them. And the thing is, she just didn't find it funny. She was really confused. And I just kept saying it. And then at one point she was like, oh, like, I do need to do this. And then she started to like get off her bike. And then I was like, nah, it's just a prank. Like,
no, please.
It was like, why did I do that?
Yeah.
After that woman.
But like, that's the reflection that these people did not possess.
And I felt uncomfortable the whole time. Right. That matters.
I think the goal was at least like a semi-admirable, like this is a reference to something.
Yeah, that's what we were trying. It wasn't just annoy this person.
As opposed to, instead of making a spoon with a spoon, it's just, I threw a spoon really hard.
at a carrot.
I did a thing. Destroys male Karens.
He was like, the destroys just how?
Hey, don't do that.
Why'd you do that?
That's like the trend that's happening right now where people are just throwing things at performers.
What?
Have you seen this?
Oh, I've seen the Prime at KSI.
Like, well, that they faked that one. Oh. But someone hit, they faked it for views because they were like, oh, people hate him, haha. And then they're like, marketing, we're geniuses. But Harry Styles just got hit in the eye by something like while he was performing.
That's a good shot. In the eye? That's like the smallest part of it.
Yeah.
It's true. It's 50 points.
But yeah, that's a new trend that's happening with performance. I think
people have done that for a while though. There was George Bush with the shoe.
Yes. Oh yeah. This is like it's more like TikTok. Someone saw it go viral once, and now there's been like five people do it like in a string. Like,
didn't you guys have an egg guy?
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, but that was point blank.
That wasn't a throw. That was like a nice crack. And then just stood there like a centimeter away from him, just filming.
Who
his
was
face.
It? Who did the egg?
Fraser Anning.
Fraser Anning was the politician. He's like. Like proper Nazi. It's right. Amazing. When like the Christchurch shooting, that Aussie guy went to New Zealand and like killed like 40 people in a mosque.
Yeah.
This politician comes out and be like, this is why we can't have Muslim migration.
Because Australians can't resist killing them. It's horrible. Yeah. How can you come here?
That's
causes violence.
It's nice that he got egged like directly after that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of remarkable that like, there's recompense at all, even if it's a small thing like that, and that like just to sit at, we should maybe pull up the video because he really does just mean mug him. Like he eggs him and like T poses next to him. Like,
but then I think Fraser Anning punches him.
Yeah, he punches him.
He punches the kid.
The guys next to him as well as Neil Erickson and these other guys who were like actual like neo Nazis.
Yeah.
Don't they get like tackled over people?
Yeah. But he also had a I was about to say really good thing. No, I wasn't like really bad.
good, I mean bad.
Yeah, by good, I mean bad.
How do you spell this guy's name?
F-R...
Do you have the name Fraser here?
Fraser,
oh,
like
you do.
F-R-D.
Without an Fraser the show.
We pronounce it like Fraser.
Fraser.
But as a first name? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I just realized that Fraser egg is going to bring up like tossed
like
salad
egging?
And scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
Or if you just search egg boy.
Oh, egg boy.
Search
egg,
I hear like the blues are calling.
Egg boy on Steam. Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Oh, this. I have seen this.
He just punches this kid in the head.
And then he stays there,
and he keeps doing it.
That's actually kind of sick that he just like stands there after getting hit with the camera.
Yeah, what the heck?
Doesn't even throw it. No cowardice in that.
That's beautiful.
Nothing to lose.
Yeah. That was awesome.
That's a cop on the edge.
Yeah, I think like, with politicians especially are doing horrible
call me the
things,
egg boy.
It's a little different.
He's more of an egg man, if you ask me.
He's an egg man now, definitely.
Imagine somebody coming up to you instead of being like, oh my God, are you boy boy there? No, you egg boy.
Are you egg boy?
Are you egg boy?
Sure it happens to him, yeah.
He was talking about getting recognized. Got offered a Netflix deal.
Nice. Yeah. Fuck yeah, dude.
Everything.
An hour stand-up.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of canceled.
Just all around the audience.
Oh, yeah, dude. One of those, like, a guy looking condescending with his arms crossed. Woke.
What?
Or like, woke media.
Can't canceled. Cancel this.
It's an egg.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't cancel an egg.
Good luck canceling this.
Speaking of like politics and stuff, I feel like you guys have a funny like perspective with content because you can like come into America and kind of make fun of the weird Americanisms and stuff. Are you able to talk about the blood bank stuff?
Yeah,
sure. We can talk about that.
Because we were talking at Connor's charity auction, briefly about it. But what is this like thing that you're working on right now?
Just vampires.
Well, no further questions. That
America's like one of like five countries in the world that pay for blood donations. So in Australia, it's like voluntary. Yeah, that's the word. So you can only like do it once a month. Here, you get like $50 a pop, and you can do it every 2 days. So you just have like all these super poor people just like draining their blood.
We talked about it briefly at the event, right? And like, it's crazy that how insidiously American propaganda seeps in.
Yeah.
It
is
slow. It's a drip feed. It's almost, earlier we were talking about how like the longer you're here, the worse you start to feel from the food. You don't realize that's happening. Yeah. It's the same kind of thing where like, it's weird that they buy blood.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. But you hear that now and you're like, that's a little weird. A little peculiar.
No, like, I think the outsider perspective, because, like, I had never given it a second thought because it's just, like, such a normal thing. And the way that it's talked about is the goodwill of, you know, doing it, donating blood, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't think about, like, I guess it never crossed my mind that you could sell your blood, and then also how dark that actually
is. Yeah, it's wild. Like, some of the billboards are hilarious. It's like, billboards. At universities, be like, need money for your books? Like, donate plasma today.
Need to be paler?
Yeah.
Get paler today.
What was insane about it, though, because obviously we did some research and thought, oh, this is what the people are going to look like. Then when you actually turn up and talk to the people, it was so much like, darker than I thought of like,
everyone just looks sick.
Everyone was so sick. And you would ask someone and be like, oh,
turns out you need blood.
You really need your blood. Because a lot of people were like, no, I can't do an interview. I feel like shit. And we're like, oh, yeah, you
fair enough.
Just get 2 liters of blood.
But I mean, like,
for $50.
The thing is, like, obviously there's nice uses for blood. Like, heaps of people need it. Yeah. Like in medication and things like that. But like,
because the people that are giving blood actually could use it quite a bit. Too.
But since it's like kind of like super privatized, like those private blood banks sell it to whoever, and like a lot of people who purchase it are like rich, like Silicon Valley style dudes who I mean, I think it's all bullshit science, but like the people who believe that you can like make yourself younger.
I mean, have you guys heard about that guy,
Brian Johnson?
Brian Johnson,
have you heard about him?
Maybe.
He's like a 45-year-old billionaire who is like blood swapping with his father and his son.
Yes. The like cycling, right?
That's don't like understand what it is.
Like
but
a pig pre-surgery.
But that's exactly what we're talking about, because it is literally the story of Dracula. You got this rich guy taking poor people's blood, making him younger.
Except like, you've like set up a system where it's voluntary. People are like so desperate that like please suck
but
my blood.
That's the thing. It's like, is it voluntary?
No,
because when you are like, when you are looking for a way out, or you're looking for some sort of like financial like help, and that is one of the options, people are going to take that option. But of course, it's a failure of society, or it's a failure of the government.
It's both sides of the ecosystem that are that make it so toxic. Is that one side, say, the fact that there are privatized blood banks, which, hilarious phrase.
Yeah.
It's a crazy thing to say. There is the fact that that exists and can sell it to any party is what makes the first stage more predatory.
Yeah.
If the first stage, if it was only donations, then the second part is bad, but it's a little less bad because they're not incentivized to get broke students.
That's it's like a failure of the welfare state as well, because like if people weren't as desperate, the industry wouldn't be profitable. Like all the people we interviewed had jobs. Like they worked in fast food. A lot of them were healthcare workers.
Like, and it's just like working a job. Yeah. Like you're working jobs that like cannot pay you a living wage,
but
take up all of your time and ability to make any extra income.
Quite frankly, you could be very short on blood as a CEO and work just fine.
Yeah.
You can still, as someone's nephew, you can still sit in a room and then like every now and then go, that's disruptive.
It's funny that like when you mentioned that the like the blood banks are private, or they're selling the blood, what's funny is like my first thought is, oh God. And then my other thought is, oh yeah, everything in America is privatized. Yeah. So this is happening at every layer of every industry, to the like detriment of society and the well-being of these people.
Mm. Well, you've traveled a good chunk, including to Europe. I know it's been a little while now, but I remember you went on an extended trip. There's this sentiment that I like, so it was way over COVID. I was gone for two and a half-ish years. And being back in the UK, weird, very isolated. But the one benefit of it, and I feel it even for the, you know, 3-day visit I did recently for a family member's birthday, there's this like, I don't know, I've never been a visitor here. I've only ever been under like a non-resident visa, so living here while there's a just this really pervasive sense of adversity with the institution and the government, where, and banks especially, where it always feels like they're trying to get you. Oh, yeah. And it always feels like I'm like, oh, Wells Fargo, I fucking caught that.
Yeah.
Oh, you almost got me on that one. Nice try.
Like, living in America often feels like flying on Ryanair. Which is like
a bad airline.
European airline, but it
wobbles when it's
like
sky.
A budget airline, but like the way they make money is by being like, if you don't print out, you didn't print out your boarding pass, $75 charge.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you need to store a bag, extra charge. Yeah. Oh, you like want to move your seat, there's a charge for that.
It's literally like it's a 15-pound flight to go to Greece.
And it's like death by a thousand cuts, yeah, right? Because like if you are able to like know exactly all of the hoops to jump through, you're flying it with relative ease for cheap. But if you're like just a regular person who thinks they're getting a good deal, then you just get nickel and dimed.
It's such amazing. A smart setup.
And you're
they
stuck
also
in
play
the air.
A song.
Like they got
the
you.
Yeah.
They play a little song when they land too.
I think
is there a Ryanair anthem?
Yeah, dude. It's cool.
Ryanair CEO said that they don't fly to the US currently.
On the fuel.
But when I was, you know, a poor college student in Spain, that was like the cheapest way to get around through like the EU. And
yeah, I mean, that's how cheap it is. It really is like.
It's like $15 like or $30.
For less money than like a 2-hour Great Western train ride in the UK, you can go to the other side of Europe.
Right. And the CEO said he wants to, I can't remember if it's $50 or $100, but he wants to get like a flight to the US and back for like under $100 or something like that. That's his like goal.
That's crazy.
But
how is that even possible at all?
You have to trade off on the controls.
Yeah.
Pilots only.
I've been
watching. So it takes 300 hours.
There's two places I want to go from this conversation. One is the cloning documentary I watched, which I feel like may be of interest to you. And the other is the fact that I've just been watching a bunch of videos about plane crashes.
Oh, no.
That, yeah. Because I went through a stage of watching plane crash videos as well. And then I realized I'm like, this is affecting me because I need to get on a plane.
Yeah.
And well, now I understand.
Yeah.
Do you guys, that it does happen.
Have you ever had, any of you had like a fear of flying?
Little bit. But the thing, mine's weird because I really enjoy like speed and like falling. So I love takeoff and landing. I'm like, yes, this is sick.
It sounds like you'd love a crash.
Yeah, I think that would be more fun. For me, it's the being stuck in the air, just like slightly vibrating very fast for 16 hours. I'm like, this is so uncomfortable. I hate this. I can't get off. I can't move.
Huh? I will say the obvious stuff, thankfully, I haven't gone into, for me, it's just the curiosity of it because it's such a rare event that there's so many interesting details to it. And it becomes like, and then there's a big like learning experience from it. How do the governments involved or the companies involved respond?
It should be so much more. So like it's more. So much. There should be so many more plane crashes.
Yeah. It's crazy that there's not.
It's a flying thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason is because there's so much regulation, checks and balances and stuff.
Mm. Those videos where the wings are turned all the way around.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Plane
like they stress test the wings.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Like there's like, so you can watch videos of them like moving the wing like 1,000 times or whatever.
I'm rather like, don't do it at that. Just
yeah,
two.
Maybe just five. Yeah.
Do I have to get on that plane? You just did that too?
You throw like, that one away.
Yeah, I don't want that one anymore.
But speaking of government stuff, there was a South African flight in the 80s. Where South Africa was like an international pariah and like was, I guess because of apartheid and stuff that was going on with their government there, I don't know. But they, their government was acting up and also they were involved in some sort of warfare. I don't fully know the like geopolitical situation at the time.
When was this?
This was like in the late 80s, I want to say.
Oh yeah. Maybe it was the... In Zimbabwe, like
I'm not. Yeah, I'm really not sure. But the
no, I'll come back to it. Yeah, no,
but Angola.
But the South African airline SAA was smuggling weapons of war in the cargo of commercial airliners, which is like was a secret. And if they had got found out for it, they would have. They would have like basically just been completely shut off from the international community.
Yeah.
And what happened was this plane caught fire and there was like a fire with like an accelerant in the cargo hold and the plane fucking broke apart in the sky, like broke in half in the middle of the sky because they couldn't get the fire out because it was probably being accelerated.
Yeah,
by
like gunpowder or whatever.
Lithium ion batteries and stuff.
I don't know how old you guys are.
Do you? Oh, could I just real quick say they had to scrub all of the tapes and like all of the like records and tapes and stuff are missing from just that one day.
Come on.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty wild. But anyway, go ahead.
Do any of you guys have memories of like pre 9/11 flights?
Yeah.
Just any old kind of.
Yeah, well, I just remember there wasn't really any security. I think I did one or two flights before.
You're allowed to like spin a revolver and like make someone dance while shooting at the ground.
Exactly.
You could smoke on the plane at one point.
Yeah, like the '80s. Like a month ago, this like little like 7-year-old recognized you on YouTube while we're going through the security screening.
Was so good. He came up, he was like, "Excuse me, are you a YouTuber?" I was like, "I am." And then he's like, "I really like it when you make guns
and explosives."
Just
and
literally just said this as the person had just finished patting me down. And I was like, "This is like a joke." And then he stood there and proceeded to list all my other dangerous videos. Like, "And then I like it when you shot nails through your wall." And his mum was just staring at me. And I'm like, I make videos online.
Yeah. You know, he's like, "You're our Cocomelon."
I'm kind of the IED YouTuber. Big thing.
Guilty. But still got through security, which is nice.
That's good.
Nice. Yeah.
One of my relatives holds the world record for the longest free fall survived.
Really?
Yeah. Her name's Vesna Vulovic. She was a stewardess, an air hostess. What do you call it? Yeah.
Yeah, air hostess.
On a flight back in like the 70s, I think.
I think I watched a video about this. Yes,
yeah, she was sucked out of the airplane.
Yeah, well, no. They exploded the plane. And she just like fell, but she was like trapped between the dining cart and another part of the plane, and it kept her body like together. And then happened to be like some World War II medic where the plane crashed. And
Didn't she crash in the jungle though? And then she was
no, stuck it was like in Germany or something. Oh, okay. Or something.
It was in a pillow factory.
Yeah.
Close call.
Tumbled off onto a skateboard into the fireworks.
Yeah, well, that's a cool plane story. I forgot you.
Well, I think I'm genetic. I'm just invincible. I don't think I can die from plane
Serbian
crashes.
Hardy stuff.
Yeah, what you should share is your story about you mentioned the egg boy earlier. What about Vulovic that has an egg story? A very impressive egg story.
It's a very depressing egg story.
You should tell it.
One of my uncles. This is horrible. But whatever. One of my uncles.
What could it
died,
possibly be?
Because he was drunk in a pub and he did a bet whether he could swallow a hard boiled egg.
And he
swallowed it and died. Like he got caught in his.
How insane is that?
Yeah,
that is wild.
It's nuts.
Oh no, Jordan's not responding the right way.
It's wild.
That's so sad.
Yeah,
I'm just imagining it was me, and then it's just like. Your funeral, like what?
People do.
Sorry, I should explain. It really is like church laughter. Like,
I'm not allowed to.
What?
Yeah.
How dare you?
We human beings just have no durability. Like, you know, when you're a kid, you fall over and you're like, I'll just be fine forever.
Yeah.
And then, like, now if I fall over, I'm injured for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you do it as a kid. Like,
just made of rubber.
Just run on asphalt, fall over. And I was just like, no, fine. Like, knees are scraped and bleeding. I'm like, doesn't matter.
Yeah, do you have more like stem cells and stuff, or do you have more like repairing things that are
definitely
to
your repair account? Quicker?
Yeah,
it
I don't
takes
know.
Me so long
and I think
to repair.
Your things are more flexible as well.
Yeah,
like
you're
your
still
bones
growing.
Bend a bit more and things move.
Why do they stop?
Because you just get rigid and old, and they stop repairing.
I don't need blood, young blood.
That's what we need.
So, do I have good news for you?
Coming back to the, I happened to watch two documentaries about this South Korean. Scientist who faked human cloning in like the 90s. Like he basically faked the cloning of stem cells. Cause you know, when they cloned Dolly, the sheep. And so then he did a bunch of cloning of animals and stuff and kind of rose through the ranks of the science community. And as a political move in the early 2000s, Bush outlawed stem cell research. Because of the difficulty in getting the stem cells and stuff, because a lot of the time that, or it was, I think it was about the human cloning aspect of it.
Well, it was also presented in some spaces as like pregnancy termination.
It was. But like,
which is insane. Like, it's just obviously wrong. But
yeah. Like, but so they were basically using the same methods that they were using to clone clone animals where you have like an egg and then you take out the nucleus of the egg and then you put like a cell from another like thing. You take the nucleus out of another cell and then you put it in the egg and then it's supposed to duplicate. And that's like, it's like, but there's like a lot of like failure points in that. And so theoretically what this South Korean doctor was doing was possible, but they, but the difficulty was actually the amount of eggs that you could get, because this reproductive eggs come out like once a month or whatever. And so then it's like, and then you also can't sell them and all these other things for this reason, because it's like extracting them is this huge like risky process and stuff. And they have women take this like drug that makes them like super producers of eggs, and then they like
it turns them into fish. They just like
it's
caviar.
Insane.
It's like a factory.
Yeah. It's insane. And then this paper comes out where they got like 242 eggs from 16 donors.
What?
The people in the community were like, well, no one has this access to eggs.
Yeah.
So then it becomes the question of like, where did they get the egg? I realize eggs has come in a couple of ways.
This is
an
egg theme.
You gotta be careful with those.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry for
that. The question became, where did they get the access to the eggs? And then it became this huge ethical concern.
Yeah.
Because this journalist from one of the big science mag, it's like starts calling up people who are like listed on the paper and asking how they acquired the eggs. And this woman says like, I can't say for anyone, but I could talk about my experience. And so then it comes out that one of the scientist's subordinates and multiple of his subordinates were asked to donate their own eggs, which is like a huge ethical thing. Yeah. It's like your boss asking you to donate your blood or whatever.
Like a multi-level marketing scheme.
Yeah. And so then it was like that, and then they were privately like buying all these eggs from like these private companies in Korea that acquired them through like essentially like the American blood thing, where it's like you think that you're helping someone heal by donating your blood, but actually what happens, or like the people who are donating eggs think they're helping someone out who like can't have kids or like IVF or something like that. But in reality, it's getting sold and then used unethically in this like scientific experiment that actually failed, but they faked it. They faked everything.
So they're faking it to get money and funding, or
basically
is that why?
This person became the most famous person in South Korea, met the president, became the scientist of like the sort of top science person of the president
with magic.
They were
with
on illusions. They were on,
he cut like a woman in half.
Yeah, they were basically the most famous. It was at a time where like South Korea was this is how it was pitched in both of the documentaries I watched, so I'm not a historian, so I can't really say if this is accurate, but it was at a time where like Korea was becoming a developed nation and they were competing in scientific communities with like China and Japan.
Prestige was even more valuable.
Yeah, so it's like South Korea had no Nobel Prizes and stuff and things like that. So this was like all kind of to raise the pedigree scientifically. And this man became the pride of Korea. And when he was outed as a fraud, this guy never saw any jail time. He
cloned himself. He's like, you can't imprison
all of us. Yeah.
Stop that. He went to five jails.
But it's because he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't actually clone someone, so that's why he didn't go.
Right. So it's because
he collected eggs.
Yeah, he collected some eggs.
He didn't sell them. It was all like he was trying to do the science, but it just didn't work.
Oh, that's even sadder.
So he's
dumb and evil.
So he's in the UAE like cloning show camels. Because he was the first guy to like clone a dog, I think.
Would start with camels.
Yeah.
I would start earlier than I guess human beings.
Yeah. I think it's part of me really wants cloning to happen for people, just because I think it would be so horrible and funny. is that a reason at all? It's like watching a sci-fi movie in real life.
We're already doing that.
Something would go very bad.
Yeah.
Still interesting.
The bright side of that story, which is horrible for a number of reasons, because again, it was like the reason that you can't buy eggs is because the people who are giving them are from underprivileged communities. Who else would put themselves through that physical strain and risk?
Yeah.
And then a large percentage of the people who ended up giving eggs through this ended up having long-term complications. Yep. So it's like, there's, it's a huge strain on your body, blah, blah, blah. Only reason you would do it is if you were desperate for money.
Yeah.
But on the scientific stem cells thing, like I think in 2009 or something, later in the 2000s, they discovered a way to clone human stem cells without eggs. So that's cool. So stem cell research rages on.
What's the purpose of cloning? I guess they get like extra organs to
Yeah,
or do people just want like double
just humans? For like curing like diseases and ailments and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I suppose that's the even more surreal timeline for psycho CEOs.
Yeah.
Just like cycling their own blood through the free of themselves.
Yeah.
There is a
I think it's better than your son.
There is like I think that it'll never get to this point because of the ethics of it, and it's gross to think about. But like theoretically you could like what they do now is like create, or at least I think this is like what the game plan is you create stem cells from yourself, like from one of your own cells, because you, after you're an infant or something like that, you can't generate stem cells anymore or whatever, but you can create them in a lab. So basically you have your own cloned stem cells to heal yourself. So like that feels
I've heard of them doing that for spinal kind of reconstruction, the spinal cord that stem cell injections can help.
There's those geohackers that are using like CRISPR to like change their DNA and stuff.
That's sick. Yeah. I have heard of CRISPR.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you do with it when you're already a hot guy? You know, like
there's nothing else. Yeah. There's no other changes you can make to your body.
Because somebody's offered it, obviously, to all of us.
Yeah.
That and a Temu ad or whatever. Most common outreach email.
I got a Temu ad today that was telling me that they wanted to work with me for a brand thing. And I think I'm going to work on a video about them to figure out what the hell they're up to. But it said they have 50 users who are successfully earning money through their platform. And I think they meant million with an M, but they used a W. So it's like they have 50 Willian users.
50 Williams. Have 50 Williams all making content.
They're close.
That's a lot of Williams.
I'd watch that channel.
60 wouldn't be impressive. Like for 50 emails a day to each creator. 50.
Yeah, I mean, TikTok's obsessed with twins, so I imagine the 50 Williams channel would do pretty well.
So that'd be good. I would watch that.
I would watch that too.
You need to steal a lot of eggs to make 50 Williams.
We have a question that you jotted down, I saw.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be interesting.
Will you give us your blood? yeah.
Any eggs? Your motherfucker's living with Hassan, huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
A lot, in fact, I guess. Last two
times? You've lived with Hassan a few times.
Yeah.
What's it like having Hassan as a roommate?
It's great because we squat in his house, and like because he's a socialist, he can't make us homeless, right? So we're just there forever, essentially.
But he did buy the house.
Yeah.
He's a socialist.
He bought the house.
Okay. And he drives a car.
He does drive a car. Interesting. Mm-hmm. It's also got four wheels.
Oh, curious.
Yeah. A bit excessive.
Yeah.
I think.
No one else gets to use the wheels.
Yeah. Great. Exactly. Just for one man.
And it's powered by blood.
That's why we're there.
That's why
you're healthy Australians, you know, we stick our finger in his car every day and just stand there.
What is this?
Just checking you don't have diabetes.
Yeah, don't ask questions.
But like, is it surreal at all for you? Because what, streaming 26 hours a day or whatever? Like,
That's rough.
Can you guys imagine doing that?
Yeah. Oh, no.
I think there's... Well, you did streaming, so you'd know. But there seems like there are some nice parts about it in terms of you can just kind of like really talk about whatever you're feeling and not have to have this super structure around everything you do.
Right.
And then it's like... Seems relaxing in a way.
Also, you develop like a kind of relationship with chat, from what I understand.
Yeah.
And it's like... I noticed with Hassan when he's not streaming, he's often like... You know, it's like it's missing a friend.
Right.
Yeah. It's probably bad as well, because then it's like a lot of validation from chat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And having them get validation from you as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
Well, do you guys, I mean, a lot of your content's plural. it is high intensity, high planning, high edit, I would guess, as well. A lot of footage burden, a lot to work through. Is that ever at any point it's like, can I just like do...
Well, we're thinking of a two-hour video. That's what we started doing reacts. But yours are more commentary as opposed to reacts.
Yeah, it depends on what channel I'm on.
But reacts are great. Yeah. Oh, you know, so if you find the right video, it's already entertaining. You make jokes for an hour and you're like, sick, video with 600,000 views.
I've got a video,
It's weird that we even call it like YouTubers collective. I mean, every video on my channel took less than an hour to record.
That's so
beautiful. Ridiculous.
But at the consequence of like, I think maybe less of a like anthology I can look back on. It's not.
Yeah.
I don't dislike the videos, but there is. I think I have very few memories about them.
Yeah.
In the same sense, and so you with Gold to an extent.
Yeah, it's nice having both outlets because like my last main channel video took me forever to like script and edit and I was like reaching out to people and talking to sources and things like that. And it's like nice to have that on one hand and then also have an outlet where I can just like rattle off something about a weird prankster.
Yeah. That's so nice.
Where it's like, I don't want to I'm sure you know this, when you're working on a long project, you have to like find the energy. It's like a relationship. Yeah. You have to like find the love in the project every day to keep at it.
Well, we got the ultimate example. We filmed a video 5 years ago that we are still making actively.
Still recording as well?
Still recording, still changing. It's a documentary.
It is 5 years. It was 2018 that we first filmed it.
But we probably wrote it in 2017.
Yeah.
Who will win the 2020 election?
Yeah.
Predictions. Oh, fuck. 2024 we met.
But it's a good script. It's got funny.
It's so hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so insightful.
But guys, you have to understand the video, please. Yeah. Watch the video.
Is that something that you have talked about before?
I think we have. Yeah. We've shared it. So the video will probably be called Man's Best Meal. And it's about the relationship between, so like in China, obviously eating dogs is acceptable. But America and Australia, we all condemn it. So we traveled to China to eat dogs and talk about
dog meat festival.
Why it's all right to eat one animal, but not another. Right. Yeah. So kind of, yeah. But there's some, it's cool doco. Some very cool stuff.
There's a lot of stuff that happens. Too much, actually.
I assume it's not like we just procrastinated, but like what has
it is a bit of that, but legal stuff as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
bigger parties involved.
We make some like big people look very bad.
Yeah. Oh shit!
And we don't know.
It's like Borat or something.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'd like to think so. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
You make Sacha Baron Cohen look bad.
It's like Borat if he ate dogs.
This is fucked. How much dog we actually ate? Because usually the people that go to that area are like. They're like, not journalists, they're activists that are trying to stop the dog festival.
Yeah.
So we were there and we were trying to prove to all these Chinese people that we weren't activists. Who were like, yeah, give me a dog.
Because we wanted to eat
that dog.
I'll eat that dog.
Sure. So I ate like 2 kilos of dog.
It was so much.
It was horrible.
That's wild.
That's so much dog.
It's a tricky cycle, right? Because I'm like naturally standoffish. I'm like, whoa. And then I have to also encounter like, I'm woeing a culture.
Yeah.
It's a little tricky. Right. And I don't even have a definitive opinion.
And some of the people we met were just like, it's the same as in India where they don't eat cows.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And also you can make the intelligence art, because I have the same reaction to you, Jordan, but then like as soon as I intellectualize it and I'm like, okay, well, pigs are really intelligent.
That's what we're
talking
about.
You can teach pigs nearly as many tricks, if not more, than you could teach dogs.
Well, apparently they're smarter than dogs. It's as smart as a 5-year-old.
Yeah. We're interviewing this, an evolutionary biologist who studies dogs, and he was talking about how pigs are as smart or smarter. But then he was also just like, but that shouldn't make a difference. It's not like a dumb pig suffers less than a smart pig.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just our justification for being like, oh, it's unintelligent. We can kill it. Still doesn't want to die.
I suppose it's one of those things where like ultimately you can kind of hold a principle and not always perform the praxis of it, right?
Yeah.
Like it's kind of, it doesn't really change anything, but it also sounds like it's a long project for a reason.
Yeah,
it's not the kind of thing you want to just fuck it.
Yeah,
we should just finish it though.
Yeah, well, that's on me. I should do it.
Would you guys have, as I say, I mean, all your projects are pretty long form, or the long form projects are very long form. Is there any desire to do different kind of shit, not just quicker stuff, but like maybe longer stuff or more?
We're thinking of starting streaming.
Yeah. Considering it, but yeah. Do you any advice? Did you enjoy streaming?
I did it before I had an audience.
I have the privilege of like just going live whenever, because I have like an audience from YouTube.
Do you do it on YouTube or on
Twitch?
No,
I stream on Twitch because I just wanted to have like the independence from YouTube. And
there is more of an incentive. Now that people will watch my stream, I am much more incentivized to do it.
Yeah, also doing reacts on Twitch, or excuse me, reacts on YouTube is tough, because if you get hit with like a DMCA, it can like end your stream if you like don't act fast enough.
Oh, wow.
So that's why like, you know, you never see Ludwig doing reacts on stream. But then obviously if you edit down the content and put it up on YouTube, like I'll put the same VOD on on my YouTube VODs channel, yeah, and there are no problems.
Yeah, so that seems great. Like, we've talked about doing that, and yeah, doing it on Twitch, and then you just, you got to react for YouTube, mm-hmm, you know, yeah, every content farm.
Every video on my main channel, every react is, was streamed.
Wow.
Not for the benefit of streaming, though that can be fun as like a warm up. I just needed accountability. I needed to announce on Instagram, hey, I'm going live in 3 hours.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, I'm going live then. I have to. Yeah.
I will sometimes, like, the, it's like movie magic a little bit. Like, Jordan's videos are like this, but I just filmed, maybe it's 3 videos for my second channel that were on stream, but I just take out, like, I film it on the camera natively,
yeah,
and I cut out all the references to chat. Because the accountability, you can also like steal people's jokes. I tell them that that's going to happen.
But, I love
or
that.
Like, you cannot get, like, one of my, you know, when you like spend a lot of time looking at something and then someone watches it for 2 seconds and has an insight that like, yep, you didn't think of, and you're like, I feel like an idiot, yeah, for not, yeah, like, yeah, thinking about that. That, it's a double-edged sword with Twitch, but sometimes, yep, you know, you get that benefit.
Would you guys only do it together or also independently?
I think we'll do it together because, yeah, it's kind of nice in that it, I've streamed once or twice by myself and I found it incredibly stressful, mm-hmm, and unpleasant. But then when I do it with Alexa, just at Hassan's or with Hassan, I like the vibe of just kind of you're chatting with friends and then one, yeah, person can still look at the video, the other person can read chat, mm-hmm, and not have to create like this fully fake relationship. Mm-hmm. It's more just like, oh, they're watching us just have a good time and, yeah, laugh.
I guess that, that is about, you know, as far from the regular content as possible, right?
Like, yeah.
It's, yeah, it's,
I mean, not now that you're doing reacts, not now that you're, yeah, doing more co-live stuff, but like, it's like a completely separate muscle.
Oh, very different.
Like, baseball and swimming are both sports, but they are not, yeah, transferable, yeah, skills. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say the easiest videos, I don't know about you, Jordan, but the easiest videos that we do are when we're doing a react together.
Yeah.
It's just like, because it's, we can bounce off each other. Yeah. There's never any like dead air. You don't have, yeah, to think yourself, okay, how do I keep being entertaining?
Yeah, yeah, that's rough. Yeah. I've never done a react by myself.
No, neither. I can't. Have you done that by yourself?
I mean, that's like normally what, yeah, I do. Yeah.
But how do you talk to that? Like, because I've watched your reacts, but I, yeah, didn't, yeah, realize if I was to do that myself, how difficult it would be to actually make that joke and not say it to someone that's actually,
so,
there.
I, oh, oftentimes I will, yeah, have my producer on Zoom with me, who's like somebody who I used to do improv with, like, mm, and so somebody who gets my sense of humor. So sometimes we'll workshop jokes, but more than anything, it's accountability, and I have an audience of, yeah, one, but of somebody who I want to make them laugh, you know, yeah, and I have her like muted, but like I can see her face, and so if she like laughs at something, mm, I'm like, okay, this is, so that's like, that's kind of how I'm, yeah, generating.
Then you can't think about a line delivery. You can't say something and then go like, I wasn't really enthusiastic enough. You are, yeah, accountable for pace.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right.
And also react to the same thing for like 2 hours is not as interesting.
Yeah.
You,
yeah,
can't really cut that down into the pace maybe you want for a video, whereas something with someone else or maybe an audience where there's at least feel, I don't even think, yeah, because we cut out everything, chat, referential, mm-hmm, and stuff, because a lot of people just don't want streams and I think it feels, mm, isolating sometimes.
Yeah.
But there is a cadence that you only get in a back and forth, even, mm-hmm, if it's not a back.
Yeah, it's, yeah, just, it's a forth. Forth, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The like, on the flip side, one of the harder things about a commentary video, and I've talked to every commentary, like most commentary creators on YouTube about this exact thing. When you're super premeditated about something, inadvertently, you have to act your reaction sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was a real reaction when you first had it,
yeah,
but then you wrote it down and then now you're having to like drum back up that energy in that space.
And you've been sat with the idea for,
yeah,
6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We do it a lot accidentally sometimes, or where just, we're like,
because we're so bad.
React, we say something hilarious, laugh, genuine reaction. Then we look and the camera stopped recording 5 minutes, yeah, ago. Oh. So we're like, we have to recreate that.
The thing is, that's happened so many times and we're pretty good at pretending to be genuine.
Yeah, you know? Sometimes.
No, but I mean, it's a real skill. I don't think it's like, you are, it's, what is any content? What is any art? Like acting is fake. You, yeah, know what I mean? Like, yeah, and yet,
because we're pretty authentic on the show, but 5% is a performance, 10%.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It couldn't not be.
Yeah.
No, that's it. There's a...
And also develops the more you do it as well. Like, I feel like our personas in reacting are quite different to when we started.
Yeah.
You kind of... Mm. subconsciously pick up certain things.
Well, you learn what the audience likes right. and what to lean into that's like your character yeah. and then you exaggerate that more. Mm-hmm. So.
How long have you guys been friends?
Too long.
Friends?
Probably since like year 11 in high school, which would be, we finished school 2010. So like 1 or 2 years before that. So 2009, 2008.
Yeah.
How many years is that?
15.
15 years.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. What about you boys?
You get better than us because it's longer.
Yeah, we're just at what?
Seven.
I think, yeah, we met.
Halfway there.
We met in 2017.
Okay, can you guys slow down so we can catch up?
Did we meet in the same year that we... No, I started Patreon in 2016. So we met in 2016. Oh, yeah. But we started a podcast in 2017. All audio only. Well. We had no audience or anything. And this is
yet
like
we're so much more nervous. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. It's like, but now this is like an evolution of like that same show. But like, if you go back, it's just us talking about our feelings and like working in tech.
Yeah. Yeah. Saying my real life.
Oh, so you did it when you were in tech?
Yeah. We used
not to even Patreon. YouTubers. Yeah.
No.
Wow.
I had started my YouTube channel, but I think I had 20,000 subscribers. Oh, and I was still talking about like the tech industry and like making jokes about how I got an internship at Google.
I remember when your video first popped off. I didn't see the video that popped off, but I saw your video talking about you popping off.
Oh, yeah.
That was the first time I saw your video.
I was like, who is this video for? I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah. Mm. Like, it was very interesting because I think we had just started and I was like, oh, you can be a YouTuber. This can happen to people.
No, because the reason I knew it could happen is because Drew Gooden had it happen to him where he was putting out his 5,000 subscriber special at like when he had 100,000 subscribers. He basically got like 100,000 subscribers like over 2 days.
Yeah.
Wait, yeah. What was the, I got you like a card or something.
Yeah, you got me a card for 200K actually that said, congrats on turning 100 years old, but then you crossed out.
I got you 100, put a K on it. And then by the time I got to work, you had 200.
Because I had like a weekend basically where my channel went from 50 to like 250K. Yeah,
I got 450 in the first month that it went viral, 450,000 subscribers. And that was when I was like, okay, I went from 20,000 to 500,000, where I was like, this is so weird.
Karen spoon destroyed by other spoon.
Almost. Is it actually the spoon one?
No, it was how dangerous is a metal straw. So I did like, I got a metal straw, made a ballistic head, and then tested what happens if you fall over with a metal straw in your mouth. And I think it was just the thumbnail. The thumbnail looked nice. It was like a straw going into someone's head with an X-ray vision.
Oh, it's like passing through its brain. Fuck, Mortal Kombat. The guy?
Yeah, it's
an X-ray. I remember the guy who had a metal pipe go through his head.
Yeah.
And he studied in psychology because he was like still able to function. Because he survived.
But there was a woman that died in California from a metal straw.
Oh, wow.
She was just drinking a thing, fell, and it just went straight through her brain. So I was just testing how likely that is to happen. And it's very likely.
Just if you point metal at your brain.
It will go through your head. Yeah. But that was, the first video that popped off.
Well, fellas, before we wrap the show up, I want to ask you individually because you're two different people. So Alexa, do you ever get sad?
Yeah.
What is that like for you? Life. Like, because I've just like been a sad boy my entire life. And I only in adulthood have gathered tools to like manage it.
Yeah. I think I've been like vaguely a sad boy throughout life, but I feel like every time it gets intense, you get better at it, I guess.
Right. You gain the, okay, I've been here before.
Yeah.
I've got some tools.
It's like a breakup, feels severe. And then time goes by.
And now I'm just breaking up like left, right.
Oh, yeah. Breaking up other people.
Yeah.
Stealing wedding rings.
Are you, do you do therapy or anything like that?
Yeah, I did for a while. It's going to sound like a mad flex, but at a certain point, my therapist was like, you can't keep coming back here. You're too well.
Wow.
Yeah.
You need to help
Well,
me.
They explained it like
it was a very ethical.
If you keep talking about the problems, which they didn't think.
Yeah, they like, you'll be creating them. Like we've reached a point
it's like you're
where
ruminating
like,
or analyzing it too much.
Yeah.
So that was great.
Did you feel the same way? Around?
I was like, please have me back. No, I felt pretty happy hearing that. Nice.
Is it free? Australia?
Yeah.
Well, you can get referred by a doctor.
So you go to a GP, a general practitioner, like a doctor, regular. I don't even know. That's what you guys call it here, right?
Yeah. Or
those are like real doctors.
Oh yeah. We got fake ones, but
it's just a guy with a code.
But then they give you this this thing's kind of like a BuzzFeed quiz. It's like a like 10 questions and it's like sometimes, always, do you have trouble sleeping or like and then you just fill that out, and if it fits enough of sometimes or enough always, then they just say like, okay, here's a referral to a psychiatrist. And then it was actually just really, really nice and easy.
Is there a cultural like taboo around mental health care in Australia? Because in America, I think it's only been recently that like growing up as somebody was in therapy, it meant that they had some extreme issue.
I think high school, that was definitely what it was. And I think now it's very
like normalized.
Normal. Yeah. Like if someone says that people don't bat an eyelid.
I mean, I'm sure we all benefit to some degree from generation and also not being a kid anymore.
Yeah.
I think as a kid, you're mostly just assuming like things you should be insecure about. Like, people are probably judging me for this. Probably, but they're not going to do anything. Just go to therapy.
I think it's also like a cultural thing. I know like with my family, a lot of just like vaguely ethnic families, a lot of time they see like therapy as like a Western thing. They're like, everyone in the West is crazy, and this is an interview. We don't have that stuff.
They need it.
Sadness is regional.
Well, that's like Russians as well. Like it's big that it's just like when there's a problem, you kind of don't talk about it. Like if there's a problem within a marriage, it's like, no, people don't get divorced. You just beat your wife. That's the solution.
That's
like
what that guy on the podcast, I think you guys maybe saw that, the dude on the podcast who was arguing that it was the whatever podcast. Some guy was arguing that divorce shouldn't happen and they should just endure abuse.
Yeah, that's literally what Russians and Europeans believe. Like,
there's that like toxic perspective that I think just comes naturally and people don't interrogate it. Like any bad opinion, right? It just comes from instinct and then you don't think critically about it.
Yeah.
But there's that, I think, instinct to rail against conflict or fear or change or anything like that. And then the first place your mind goes is like, it's hurting me or the institution of marriage. How is it hurting the institution? Other people getting divorced makes people like, hey, that's an idea.
Let's do it for fun.
I'm free this weekend.
That sounds awesome.
Get divorced or whatever.
Alex, same question for you.
Yep.
Like, what has been your experience with like your own mental health?
I think as a kid, I was very lucky in that I have pretty bad ADHD. And as a kid, it was like extreme.
Were you hyperactive?
So hyperactive, but I've heard some people with ADHD get hyperactive and sad. Mine was just pure, I didn't really have any other feelings besides I want to run really fast, hit things as hard as I can. And that was fun. I was like, this is great. And then it was only probably like year 9, I settled down. So like midway through secondary school, in high school. And then I think the only point I've kind of only really felt sad, besides what, you know, when someone dies, was after school. I had this feeling of like, oh, I don't really know what I'm doing.
Right.
I don't understand how things work.
Yeah.
And I don't feel confident about anything.
Yeah.
And then for me, it was only when like something I really enjoyed, like doing YouTube or doing our videos, started to kick off, that I was like, oh, this is nice. I have this like purpose and feeling of like, oh, my energy's going here.
Right.
And I don't know if it's good to like link my mental health to a product that I produce.
Does it wax and wave, or is it pretty consistent? And
mine's pretty consistent because I still,
once it goes down,
I
don't know
if I equate it to the ADHD, but it's, I find that when I'm doing a lot, I just enjoy doing that. Whether it's spearfishing or rock climbing, it's like keeping busy, I feel great.
The shark dies when it stops swimming.
That's it. But I don't have a problem with that, so I don't know if that's bad or good.
No, I think that's two things are relatable to me. One is the like, and I think a lot of our listeners is like the, what am I doing after, you know, you finish school and then there's no longer train tracks, you know, to ride on. But then the other thing is, I think that the hardest thing for me was transitioning to full-time creator from my old like corporate job, where there was a ton of structure. My schedule was always full. I had like performance reviews. I knew I was doing a good job.
Objective success.
You know what I mean? It's almost like I was getting report cards where I was being told I was like killing it. And then
you have a future.
And then now
proof.
And it's like, now it's like what's replaced that is like opening up YouTube Studio and it going like
1 hour turn.
You know, it's like maybe try harder next time or whatever.
And you know those little when it has that like little italicized tip next to it that's just like it's performing as normal or whatever, but if like if it's an 8 or below, it's like, I don't know about that future.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How long did this one take?
The viewers are watching this video less because it's not as good.
Yeah.
Essentially. It's like, yeah. Well, thank you.
We talk to your viewers and they don't like you as much as they used to. They miss the old version of you. Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe do like Let's Plays.
Have you tried pivoting to Minecraft?
Yeah, yeah.
That would be so funny.
That would be great if it was that specific. Yeah. That I could read that. It's like,
what the hell? Hi, Alex. Don't talk to me like that.
I mean, we are getting closer to not exactly that, but you can see way more audience metrics nowadays on YouTube, which I think is useful. Because if people are watching a bunch, like your audience is watching other creators in your genre, then you're like, okay, you know, like this is what I expect. But
I sometimes get disappointed by that when I see what my viewers have been watching. And I was like, really, that guy?
Yeah.
That's him. The most other viewed creator. I'm like, him? I'm not going to say the name. But like,
do either of you ever feel like that is even like 1% impacting what you then choose to make or how you present it?
Oh, I don't really.
No, I don't think so. Because I think it's we release so infrequently that I'm like, I put it down to, oh, there was nothing else to watch. So they must have got bored with not me having me there. Watch something that I don't usually watch.
Only so many times you can rewatch it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she's getting married because I was like busy.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Also, I think that, at least Alex, with your videos, the clickability or the clickbait comes from just like how outlandish the creation is.
Yeah.
And you get to satisfy the curiosity of like, what does it look like realized?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Which like you can't always get that with like a commentary video, no. You know, because there's no like arc to it necessarily.
That's what I struggle like, because when we started doing the commentary and reacts, it's like there's never a super viral idea. Mm-hmm. But when you're making something, you have the opportunity to do, okay, to do something completely new and think, what's the craziest thing I can do? And then you make that.
Yeah.
You can't do that with a commentary or react video unless your take is so edgy that someone's like, how could you say that?
Right.
It's just like, it doesn't exist.
And then it veers into unbelievability. They're just saying.
Exactly. So it's like,
well, your value proposition is just like, I'm cool. You'll like me.
Yeah, which is be my friend.
Which is a sociopath that I have to feel. Like, I can't. How else are you going to make a good react if you're just like, I'm like murmuring? if you agree.
Shy boy reacts.
In the old days, there were opportunities to go viral with. I think that there are still ways to go viral with commentary, but it's very audience based. Like, you have to be reaching an audience that, like, hasn't been represented, or like the audience identifies you with in a unique way. But back when I started, I had a video go viral because it was like I was one of the first people talking about a thing that everybody else had. Like, I made a video about 5 minute crafts, which I talked about in that video, and the reason that I think it got so many views is because there just weren't that many people talking about that thing at that time.
So you kind of brought that new thing.
And so everybody was like, that thing, what's the deal with that? And so I do think that there's the what's the deal with that angle does still work. Like with Eddie's Ghost Kitchens video, it's like, oh, I've been seeing these fake restaurants on my delivery apps. What's the deal with that?
Yeah.
And then it's like a vessel for jokes and like telling a story and stuff.
And it has been emulated by people that aren't as good at what he does specifically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And are trying to emulate his voice, which is like, I don't like the guy.
Yeah.
He's this weird, scary. He bullied Mr. Burger or whatever. Yeah. Ruined his business.
Yeah, he's never been the same to me after he was so mean to Mr. Beast.
But like Eddie has his value proposition, same with his Burbert channel with his brother, is just like, nobody else is going to be Eddie and Tony in a video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the same sense that like, you guys could probably do exactly only release react after someone else has done the same react, and it wouldn't be the equivalent, wouldn't be the same.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the sell, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, just reacts as a, like, what's the word? It's a type of content that, like, is very comforting for people. And I think that's, and it's fun to do.
Yeah.
And that has a place, but it's, like, also not a way to, it's a way to satisfy, I think it's a way to satisfy an existing audience, but not always a way to grow unless you have a unique value proposition.
Yeah.
So
If you guys start streaming, I'm going to get in that chat.
Sick.
Just shut up.
Oh, no.
I'm trying to watch the video.
Stop talking over the video.
The weirdest comment ever. Just watch the video. So you just want me to sit here.
Hey, and watch. Just go watch that.
Yeah, yeah. People just watch say the video. That? No, but I people
go do
a
react
that, yeah.
alone.
Some people do that, though. Like, you know, XQC?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, every single time, I think he's a good guy.
But
every single time I release a video, he will do a react and release a react within 4 or 5 hours, and he doesn't say anything. It's just him watching the video, and then he pauses and goes, "How do you do that?" And then unpause.
What the hell? What is it? What's going on?
His video will get like 200,000-300,000 views in that day. I'm like, you just took away 300,000 people from watching my video.
Yeah,
you should put a little video of him on the bottom of your screen and get all his viewers in.
That's a picture, not a video.
When I probably watch too much true crime, just as like in the background type listening stuff. And I used to be afraid of watching true crime. And back when everybody on Twitch was reacting to like JCS, I would watch Hassan watch the video, and it felt like I was being like held. My hand was being held through the scary story. That's
very cute. Tell me when the clown comes out.
I've also done the worst reasons to watch someone doing a react, which is that someone's released a video and I didn't want to give them a view. So I was like, instead of that, I'm going to watch someone reacting to them.
Whoa. I mean,
so I can then still watch the video.
It's like your subterfuge.
Yeah. And
well,
like,
you're like,
I'm
hey, I don't
want to
poison
person.
My YouTube recommendations.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to give them money or like promote that video more, but I still want to know what happens. So it's like, yeah.
But I'm not willing to not have YouTube premium. Yeah. I'm not watching on another account.
All right. Well, so this about does it for this episode of Sad Boys, but Alex and Alexa will be joining us on patreon.com/sadboys for Sad Boys Nights. The Ooh. Premium Patreon Nuts. Podcast. Smooth.
Sad Boys After Dark.
Sad Boys After Dark. Mm, but we're going to get up to some reacts. We've been talking about it so much. Why don't we just do it?
Yeah, just watch something.
But first, we end every episode of Sad Boys with a particular phrase. We love you.
And we're sorry.
Boom!
We're going to take on 30 Australians and try and convince them that we're Australian ourselves.
No, we're Australian ourselves.
You're going to get fucked up. There's no way.
Go down the line from number one and say a line from Waltzing Matilda.
Oh, that's a pretty hard, good though. Test. We could do a rendition of it for you right now.
Please. Once a jolly swag man camped by a billabong under the shade of a coolabah tree.
Gucci girl, Gucci girl, how you doing? How you moving, girl? Moving girl, how's your day looking? That future girl, yeah, we all now. Take my money, go away, all you want it. Get too rich for me.